Let's see your Bible. Say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Genesis 1. First page of the Bible. First page.
Michigan.
I like your hat. I like your hat. What's going on now? Genesis 1. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for loving us, and we pray you bless us today. And we pray that we can learn more about you and be more clear that you exist. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife and I love to go look at model homes and even model homes that we know we can never buy. Do y'all ever look at stuff you know you can't buy? You ever go like into a car dealer and look at a car that you know you will never buy? That is so ghetto. So sad. And they know you can't afford it because they'll tell you, oh, just let us know, you know, and just let you, because they know you ain't got no money. So we're in the process of actually trying to move and buy a house. So we're now looking at homes of people who live in them. So you could tell a lot about people by their house, by how they decorate it, if it's neat. We went into one house. It was so toe up. No lie, I almost didn't go in. I walked in the front door, and I almost said to the guy, come on, man. Come on, man. It was dog pee stains everywhere. It was nasty. Okay, so we just kind of walk through the house like this, right? But you could tell a lot about people by the house, by how they decorate it, by their taste in colors and furniture and, you know, coordination and all that kind of stuff. Well, this living room behind me is going to teach us about God. This living room behind me is going to teach us not only that there is a God, but it's going to teach us what kind of God there is. It's a very simple living room. Okay, now, there are a couple things I want to point out. Is that in this living room you have a cross that represents God. That's going to represent God. When I refer to God, that's going to be the one piece that refers directly to God. And then you have this, what I call the nothing jar. Okay? There's nothing in it. Can you see the nothing? Okay? So this represents all the people that don't believe there is a God. Because as much as I'm going to talk about God, I'm going to talk about there being no God, because there are implications to God existing and there are implications to God not existing. So we're going to talk about, when we talk about God, we're going to refer to the cross, but we're going to talk about nothing. We're going to talk about this. Now, some people believe that God is unknown, so this is also the unknown jar. Okay? But I'm going to focus on it being a nothing jar, that there is no God. And so I'm going to refer to that throughout the message. Now, what I'm proposed to you is that this living room is going to give us enough evidence to prove not only that there is a God, but to prove what kind of God he is, and that, in fact, the God that does exist is the God of the Bible, just using this living room. Now, some of you may say, well, when you think about God, shouldn't we just be focusing on faith? Well, faith is always based on facts. Faith is not based on feeling. It shouldn't be. You shouldn't put faith in feeling, because your feelings change and sometimes they mislead you. Faith shouldn't be based on experience solely, because experience changed. In other words, some people may say, you know, when I stood under the tree and the shade was on me and I prayed and God spoke to me. Well, you don't have to always go under the tree and have the shade be on you that right specific time and have that same experience for God to do something. God does stuff in different ways. And so faith is always based on absolute facts, and one of those absolute facts is the Bible, God's promises. Okay, so we're going to look at some facts that God has given to us through his creation to prove that he exists. Now, if you take a note, just write down Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans 1, verse 20 says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen by the things he have made, even his eternal Godhead and his power. Basically, what God is saying is that if you study the things that I made and the evidence that I've given all of you, it'll be clear that I exist. And so no one can die and stand before God and say, God, I just had no evidence you existed. God's going to say, no, you don't understand. I gave you plenty of evidence, so much evidence that I existed, so much evidence that points to who I am, what kind of person God I am, that you're without excuse. The Bible says that you will be without excuse. Everyone say without excuse. Okay, so you can write that Romans 1:20, just look it up and read it on your own. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of that evidence just using this living room primarily, or initially, I should say. Okay, so I got a couple of questions for you, and these questions aren't trick questions. They may seem real simple, they may seem like duh questions, but they really are important for you to answer and interact with. Okay, if you're watching online or wherever you're at, same thing for you. Okay, so first question, how many of you would agree by a show of hands that there is a living room or a simulated living room behind me? Okay, it's not a trick question. Everybody say, okay, very good. It looks like all of you, but I'm just going to test. Does anybody here believe that there's not a living room behind me? Does anybody want to raise their hand on that one? Anybody? It's okay. We're not going to laugh at you, condemn you. We just want to know. I don't want to assume everybody believes that there is a living room behind me. So one more time. Does everybody believe that there's a living room behind me? Very good. Okay, very good. Just simulated living rooms. The couch. This is real. By the way, you know, this is real. This couch, you really can sit on it. You know, you can lay on this. You can stand like that. Whatever you want to do. Okay, it's a TV, picture, and everything. Okay, ready? You got that? Okay, so next question. How many of you, by a show of hands, would say, someone put the living room there? It's not a trick question. Okay, y'all are like, oh, yeah, I think. Okay. Someone had to place the stuff and organize it and put it there. Okay, so it seems like everyone. Is there anyone here that believes that nothing put the living room there? It just did it by itself. Anybody? Where's your hand? Nobody. Okay. Does anybody see a hand anywhere? Okay. So, is it true that unanimously we believe there is a living room there, a simulated living room? And unanimously, we believe that somebody put it there or someone is the cause of the living room being there. Would that be agree? Yes? Say yes? Yes. Okay, very good. Very good. Let's apply that to the shirt or blouse or sweater you have on. How many of you believe that somebody created that thing, put it together? Everybody believes that? Okay. And same thing would apply to this building. Amen. Same thing applies to your car, your bike, or the bus you're going to take home, or the sneakers you're going to walk in when you go home. Same thing applies to all that. Amen? Okay, so what you just did is you affirmed the law of causality. If you're taking notes, write down causality. Causality is causality, like the word causality or causality. Okay? Causality. Laws of causality says this, that a limited object cannot cause itself, or there must be a first cause for every limited object. What you're going to see in your notes is that a limited object cannot cause itself. Okay? So the law of causality says that all limited objects need a first cause. All limited objects need a first cause, and a limited object is an object that can't cause itself. And basically say this, a limited object is everything you know. This building is a limited object. Your shirt is a limited object. Your car, you are a limited object. Everything in the universe is a limited object, and there's nothing you've ever seen in the universe, and everything you've seen is in the universe. There's nothing you've ever seen in the universe that's not a limited object. Plants, animals, the ocean, the mountain, the sun, the star, the moon, everything. You and I, all limited objects. And everything in the universe has to be caused by something else. It has to be begun. Something else has to begin it, create it, make it happen. Nothing limited can cause itself. Okay? So everything you see, it never caused itself. The stage didn't cause itself. I didn't cause myself. This podium, this Bible, everything you have and everything you've ever seen was caused by something else. TV, phone, radio, everything. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. So if man caused this building, if man caused the car, the clothes, and all these things that man caused, what is the first cause of everything man didn't cause? The universe. The universe. The universe is 93 billion light years big and expanding at the speed of light, according to scientists. The Bible says that God expands the universe like a curtain. There's 300 sextillion stars. Sextillion is actually a real number. It's 21 zeros. And by the way, I don't even know if they really know how many stars because it's so big and so vast, and they keep discovering more and more and more. But there's sextillion octillion, which is, I think, 27 zeros. It's ridiculous. Stars out there. These things right here, these are galaxies and also space nebulas. These things are ginormous, okay? Ginormous, like light years big. Light years, the distance light travels in a year. They're big. The universe is, I think that's the Sombrero Galaxy. No lie. You think I make it? How many of y'all think I made that up? See, why y'all do that? I mean, I'm a scientific brother. You know, I'm a science guy. You know, why you wanna you know, call me stuff like that? Look up. Google Sombrero. I think it's either galaxy or nebula. Google it, and you'll see. I think you're gonna see that. It's gonna look like a hat. It's gonna look like a sombrero. I believe it's that. And then you're gonna feel really ashamed that you called me a liar. So. So if God, if man caused all these other things, what's the first cause of those? What's the first cause of the universe? Would all these billions and billions of stars, there's 134 billion galaxies? What? What about your body? Your body has trillions of cells. Each cell is like a little computer. Your brain forms trillions of calculations per second, stuff you don't even know what's going on. Your brain right now, this is even when you sleep, this is doing trillions of stuff, and you don't even know it. Matter of fact, you're going to trip out on this, and this is true. Don't say that this is not true. When you die, let me say this. After you die, you breathe your last breath. Dead. Pronounced. Dead. Your brain still does stuff for 30 minutes after you die. Who's saying that? You're a nurse, right? Are you a nurse? You know that. Where'd you study it? Thank you. So when you die, your brain is going, I got to shut stuff down. He's dead, so he ain't going to hear this more. He's going to turn all the, takes him 30 minutes. You're dead. Your brain is still going. You didn't do that. The nothing jar didn't do that. By the way, you may be into science. It is a scientific fact that nothing can do nothing. Process that. That's deep. That's like Atlantic Ocean deep. I'm going to say it again. Nothing can do nothing. Or more grammatically correct, nothing can't do anything. It can't. So when you say, well, there's no God, for all you who say there's no God, or for all you who have friends with no God, well, if there's nothing out there, how did anything ever get done? How did limited objects start? They couldn't. Back up. You would never say the living room did itself, put it there by itself. You can't. You know that didn't happen. You wouldn't say your watch made itself, your phone made itself, your shirt made itself. You can't. That's dumb. How? It's like when I was a kid, and we had five kids in my family. My mother had five kids in 6 years. Yeah. My sister, who's the oldest, I'm the second oldest, I was born before she was one. Wow. She was 50. My sister was 50 weeks when I was born. So we're twins for 2 weeks, same age. I should say twins, two, same age. So my mother had a one, a two, a three, a four, a five, a six, or something like that. My mom's watching right now. My mom's like this tall. She's like barely 5 foot. Busting out five kids. Bam, 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 bam. So we're all sitting around the table, right? We're all sitting around the table. Someone spills the milk on the carpet, and my mother or father walks in. Who did that? And we all say, nobody. Oh, of course. What was I thinking? No, one of y'all did this. Anybody here, police officer, CSI, anything like that? Anybody? Nobody? No cops? Well, security. We don't have a security. Security. CSI. So there's a crime. Guess what they do? They look at the evidence and they are. It's a guaranteed fact. Somebody did it. Nobody could have not done it, or it wouldn't have got done. Are you following me? Okay. So basically, law of causality says that there has to be a first cause. But what about all? Who's the first cause of all this stuff that man didn't cause? God. In your notes, number one, it says God is our uncaused cause. Number one in your notes, God is our uncaused cause or beginningless. He doesn't have a beginning. He's a beginningless beginner. He's the uncreated creator. Oh, you like that? He's the uncreated creator. Now, some of y'all are thinking, well, wait a minute. You said that every limited thing has to have a first cause. So what caused God? How many of y'all thinking that? Yeah, I'm going to get to your question. I'm going to answer that question. I know some of y'all online thinking, oh, I got him. He just contradicted himself. I'm going to prove it. See this basketball? Okay, I want you to imagine, here's the question I'm going to answer with this basketball, is that what caused God? If every limited thing has a beginning and a cause, what caused God? If God's the cause of everything else, who caused him? Okay, I want you to imagine this basketball is the universe that we know. The whole universe is this basketball. Of course, it's shrunk down, it's just a model, a metaphor, blah, 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 blah. God created the universe. And everything we know to be the universe, all the stars, all the galaxies, everything, is in this basketball. And somewhere in the middle, there's a little tiny, tiny dot called the Earth and everything on the Earth. And when God created the universe, he imposed on and in the universe laws of science that we call science, physics, math, time, gravity, biology, chemistry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that govern the universe. He put man in the universe. And he made man in his image that we're going to see in a minute. And he said, man, I'm going to give you the ability to understand and figure this out. So man has been studying this universe forever, as we all know. We're studying the galaxies. We're studying the oceans. We're studying animals. We're studying all this stuff. And we are learning based on the laws of science that God created as guides to us. He gave us the science. He created science. Science are systems of reality. So God said, you guys are going to figure it out because I made you in my image. You're smart. Figure it out. And what science is going to lead you to believe, science is going to teach you that everything in here has to have a cause. Science taught us that. Science will teach us that nothing produces nothing. Science will also tell us that the universe is running down in energy. It's decaying. Science tells us that. And science is teaching us about God. Science is leading us down. We were getting railroaded right to the conclusion that there is a God. So where did God come from? Well, here's the universe, and all these laws of science govern the universe, and one of those laws is time. Time is in the universe. One of those laws is that everything in here had to have a beginning because everything in here is limited. So what happened with God? God exists outside the universe. Different rules. He's not limited by these laws. He created these laws for the universe, not for himself. He's outside. He is outside where time doesn't even exist. He's outside where beginning, where he could exist forever because there is no time. He exists out here all by himself. Different rules. Now, when Jesus Christ was born, Jesus Christ submitted himself to the laws of the universe and became a man. He humbled himself and became a man. But God exists outside the universe, so God is not a limited object. He is unlimited. I don't get that. You know why? Because all we know is this reality right here. Amen. And in our arrogance, we think this is all there is. In our arrogance, we think all reality is what's in this basketball, and God's like, you have no clue. You have no clue what exists out here. You will one day. And when you pray, we access all of this, whatever all this is. We access the creator. So God is not created because God is not limited. He's unlimited. Let's read Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, look what it says. Glory. 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 Verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Boom, everyone say boom. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Say boom, boom. Verse 9, say, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear, and it was so. Say, bada bing. Verse 11, say, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, and it was so. Say, bada bing. Verse 14, God said, let the lights of the firmament in the heavens to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and seasons for days and years, and let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Say boom, 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 boom. I'm going to run out of booms. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. And look at verse 24. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things. Some of those creeping things are people. And beasts on the earth, each according to its kind. And verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. Us and our is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and all that creep on the ground. God is saying, I did it. Amen. Now, you had the freedom to say, I don't believe God did it. It's fine. Well, who did? Somebody had to. Somebody had to. The living room couldn't get there by itself. That's impossible. And nothing can do it. So if there can't be no God, that's impossible too. Somebody had to do it. If you believe in the Big Bang, some of you believe in the Big Bang, cool. Maybe the Big Bang happened. Well, somebody had to produce the material that got banged. And somebody had to be powerful enough to bang it. And he had to bang it. Boom, boom. And for him to bang whatever he bunged it, there had to be a whole lot of stuff in wherever it got banged, and he had a whole lot of power to bang it so big that it created a universe that's expanding at the speed of light. Whoever did that, he got my bow down. Now, again, let's back up. We didn't do it. Nothing couldn't have done it. So something big and creative had to do it because it's here. We see fish, we see birds, we see plants. We see stars, we see the moon at the night, and the sun in the day. We see stars at night, the goddess. It's all there, just like God said. God said, this is what I did. And by the way, everyone has a seed. Everything has a seed after its own kind. Every plant, every fish, every bird, every bug, every human has a seed in itself of its own kind, just like he said. Well, either someone really made up a good story, or there's a real God. Now, let's say this God ain't true. Somebody had to do it because it's here. And it couldn't have come from nowhere. It couldn't have. You, again, back up. You would never say that came from nowhere. And, of course, that little puny simulated living room is very much less complex than you and me, than your watch, than your clothes, than all the trees. And, by the way, all the trees and living plants, you know that they breathe out oxygen when they exhale? Did you even know that they exhaled? That plants breathe? They, just like you and me. Just like you and me. Just like you and me. Plants do that. And guess what? They inhale what we exhale. And they exhale oxygen, what we inhale. Did you know that? And did you know that most of the oxygen on the earth comes from the plants in the ocean? As they breathe underwater, oxygen comes out of the ocean. And that's where most of the oxygen on the earth comes from, in the ocean. There's more land underneath the water than above the water. Well, how did that all happen? God. He's coordinated. Now, you may say, well, I still don't believe it. Well, how did it happen? Nothing could have done it. You didn't do it, and it's there. God did it. God did it. Number two in your notes, God is not only our uncaused cause, God is our sustaining cause. Sustaining cause. In other words, God didn't just say, I'm going to make the earth and let it go. Let's go back. Living room. When you have a living room or a bedroom, you put it there, and then you have to maintain. You have to dust. You got to fluff the pillow, fluff the pillows. You got to, you know, keep stuff organized. People come, you got to vacuum, straighten out the picture. People bump into whatever, you know what I'm saying? You got to organize. Matter of fact, how many of y'all have your bedroom? You got to clean your bedroom. Okay, I have three children, and one's really neat. One is a boy, so you know what that means. And then one is a girl who's really a mess. She's artistic. Artistic people are just kind of, you know, kind of. They're like almost, they're vague, they're out there. It's like, there's no, but it's not a bad thing because God is artistic. It's just kind of like you say 10 o'clock and it's like, what does 10 mean? Is it 9:30? Is it, no, 10 means 10. Her room could never be clean. No matter what, she can be in there all day long and it would never get there. So we decided, just close your door. My point is this, is that when you have something, it has to be maintained. So when God created the heavens and the earth, now focus on the earth where we live, you have all these animals that, and you have the weather, you have oceans, you have winds, you have currents, you have snow, hail, rain, all this stuff. God says, I maintain all that. Turn to the book of Job, right in the middle of the Bible, right before Psalm, Job 38. This is hilarious to me. Job was a man who was very wealthy. He was righteous. And the devil came and took everything he had, almost his life. And he started complaining to God why it happened because he said, I didn't do anything wrong. And God listened to him and his friends try to figure out why the devil did this. And then God says, Job, now you're going to listen to me. And I'm going to, you answer me because you don't know what you're talking about. How many of you realize that when you talk to God, you really don't know what you're talking about? Can anybody raise their hand? Because you don't. You're clueless. I mean, you don't. What do you know? How many? You don't know how. You know. Well, let me just read it. Because you don't know. And when I say you, I mean all of us. I'm not saying you don't and I do, because I don't either. This is God talking to Job, saying, "Job, I've heard enough of your nonsense. You now listen to me." God talk a little trash. It says, verse 1, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Now, look at that. A storm comes. And God's speaking out of that. Okay, you have me at hello, okay? Okay. It says, verse 2, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? That's another way of saying you are ignorant. Prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me. This is God talking to Job. Look at verse 8. Job, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? The sea came from a womb. Of course, not a woman's womb, but a womb. Job didn't know that. God said, exactly. It says, when I made the clouds its garments, its thick darkness, its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it, the sea, and set bars and doors, when I said to the sea, this far you may come, but no further, here your prow waves must stop. How many of you have been to the beach and you play with the waves? You're like, oh, I don't want to get wet. Ah, I'm going to chase the waves. Ah, it's not going to get me. It's not going to get me. Ah, look at the water. Ah, it's not going to get me. And y'all know what I'm talking about? And you stood there and the waves came. You went, da-da, 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 I'm going to get it. Da-da. You know what this is saying right here? God is the one that said it may stop right there. Let's read it again. It says, verse 11, when I said this far you may come but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. He says, Job, have you ever made the waves stop where they stop? Because that's what I do. Now some of you are going, oh, hey, that's not what that means. The moon does it. The moon, the gravitational force of the moon on the earth affects the waves. That is true. Who made the moon? Who made the moon the size the moon is? Who created gravity between two opposing bodies? Moon, earth. Who created gravity? Who put the moon at the distance it is to affect the waves? All of that is physics. And we figured it out. God did it. And by the way, it's consistent. It's there all the time. So God says, he says, Job, I did that. Did you ever do that, Job? I didn't think so. Let's keep reading, Job. Keep reading. Job, verse 12, Job, have you commanded the morning since your days began? In other words, since you've been born, has there ever been a day where you told the morning to come up? I'm just, because I've been doing that ever since you were born. So I want to know, did I ever take a day off and then give you the permission and the power and the authority to say, morning, rise? No. Have any of you ever been any place other than Alaska where the morning didn't come up? Where's my fan ranks girl? Sometimes in Alaska, I was in Alaska in Anchorage, and I was speaking at a school, and it was 10 o'clock in the morning, it was still pitch black outside, right? I mean, it eventually comes. Job, I do that. You don't do that. Look at verse 19. Job, where is the way to the dwelling of light? Where does light dwell? And darkness, where is its place? In other words, Job, when the light comes on, where does darkness go? Where does it go, Job? Tell me. You don't know. I know you didn't know. Luke 7, verse 22. Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail? How many of y'all saw the hail last night? Did any of y'all know it even rained over the last couple of days? Yo, I was asleep for 2 days. Oh, my goodness. Friday was a doozy, so I slept all day. Job, where did I store the hail? You don't know that. Look at verse 31. Can you bind the cluster of Pleiades, which is a constellation in the sky, or loose the belt of Orion, which is a constellation in the sky? Can you bring out the Maseroth in its season? By the way, I don't want to ask you how many of you have read your horoscope, but your horoscope is based on your zodiac sign. Your zodiac sign is the Maseroth. God calls it the Maseroth. And the Maseroth is the gospel story in 12 scenes. Go to the bookstore and get a book called Gospel in the Stars. It'll tell you all the scenes. Man didn't create that. Man perverted that. For you to think stars dictate your life, please. God is the one who you pray to. God is the one you get direction to. God is the one who is involved in your life. So God says to Job, do you know about the Maseroth? Did you put that up there? Did you determine the names of those stars? Did you determine when they come out? What seasons they are? No. I do that, Job. I do that. This is way above your pay grade, Job. Look at verse 39. Can you hunt prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of young lions when they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs, Job? Verse 41, who provides the food for the raven when its young ones cry to God? I have a little pergola thing in my backyard, like a little overhang on the patio, and at the top of the pillars are these little nests for birds. And every spring, whenever the birds hatch, you can hear them. And if you look up there, you can see the little mouths going like this. They're crying out to God. We want food. We'll get to that one. That's a different bird. Okay. Since it's up there, I'll tell you about that bird. That bird is a bar-tailed godwit. A bar-tailed God, GOD/WITS. Okay. This bird right here, remember, every limited thing has a cause. Something caused that bird. Now, you may say that bird evolved. Fine. But here's what that bird does, which, by the way, fine. You can believe that. It's not true. God created it. That bird flies from Alaska, Fairbanks, all the way to New Zealand and Australia, 7,100 miles nonstop for 9 days. Okay, now let's think about this for a minute. Where did the bird come from in the first place? Because it's a limited object. And by the way, nothing couldn't have created it. And if you say science created it, well, where did science come from? God. God designed the bird. So one day, let's just imagine if you're, you know, you don't believe in God, you're an evolutionist, that just it just evolved out of nowhere. Whatever. Okay. So here's the bird. All of a sudden, the bird says, hey, I don't know how it communicates to other birds. We'll just make up a language, a bird language. Let's fly 9 straight days to New Zealand. I mean, have we crossed the line of being ridiculous yet? And all the other birds go, yeah, let's go to New Zealand. None of the birds go, what's New Zealand? What's down there? How do they know what 7,100? How do they know what is 7,100 miles away? Well, maybe they tried by trial and error. They just started flying around for weeks, just looking for stuff. I'm making fun because it's ridiculous. Maybe the first 100 million years, they flew 1,000 miles and died in the ocean. And then they evolved another bird and said, we got to try a little again. And then they went 2,000 miles and then another 100 million. And eventually they flew. No. No, it's just dumb. No, God said, you guys are going to fly. You're going to eat a lot of food and gain a lot of fat. And that fat is going to be fuel for you. And you're going to fly. And I'm going to program you. You're going to go all the way 70,000 miles across the ocean to a place you've never been. To the same trees. And then you're going to fly back. That's a coordinated God. Now, why would God do that? I don't know, but I'll give you a couple reasons just to mess with your head. No, for real. Just for you to go, how, and for you, for the only conclusion you come to is that something bigger than that bird. How to do that? Something had to give that bird, and birds, by the way, sonar and be able to find their place in space. How do birds know where to go? How do bats who can't see through echolocation, in other words, they send out a sound and it bounces off their environment and they get to hear the vibration of their sound from their own head and put a picture in their head and avoid stuff. How did that happen? How does that, you get, and by the way, I've been around bats and have done this. You have bats flying around. I've actually physically done this myself. You throw a rock up, and their sonar says something's flying, and they're looking for bugs. And they will throw their sonar on the rock, and they start going towards it, and then they get feedback, and from the rebound of their sound off the rock, they realize it's not anything that's flying. Because when the sound goes off a wing that's moving, it comes back distorted. It goes off the rock, it goes boom, boom. And they'll go right up to the rock and turn away. They won't try to eat it. By sound going out and coming back. Like that, milliseconds. Do you know how sensitive of an instrument that is in their head? You don't. It is unbelievable. Did that come up by itself? Something had to cause that. Something very intelligent had to cause that.
Oh God,
he's the bomb, Why does the sun come up every day and then go down every night without clockwork? Never fails. God is sustaining it. God is sustaining the animals. He's sustaining you and me. By the way, when you get discouraged and you pray, who answers your prayer? When you have a desire to read your Bible and do good, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to do good. God. And so God is not, the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Where does that joy come from? God. Where do your divine appointments come from? God. Oh, you won't believe what happened today. It's such a coincidence. Please. God's like, coincidence? I did that. And so God is not only your first cause, he is sustaining you, keeping you going. I talked to a couple just last service, 22 and 25, living in a car. They're in a hotel one night, in a car the next night, and the girl's 22 years old. She said, we don't have a place to live. You know why she was crying, though? She was so happy to be in this room. She said, I don't want to leave. God is blessing me so much when I come to church. Now, God is sustaining her, keeping her going. And so my point is that you're not just here. God created you. He's just saying, it'd be like your parents getting you a car, filling the car with gas, giving you a map and the keys and saying, go drive to grandma's house. You get drunk and crash the car into a tree. God says, I'm going to make all this, and I'm going to give you a responsibility to care for all this. Don't mess it up. And we messed it up. God is our uncaused cause. He is our sustaining cause. And thirdly, he is our, you ain't going to like this, terminating cause. He is our terminating cause. Doesn't mean that God's going to kill you because we could be dead now. How many of you realize you could be dead right now? How many of y'all under 30 years old? Over 30. Okay. How many of y'all are over 70? Anybody? Very good. How old are you? I'm sorry? Young 80. Is that what you said? Are you 80 or 81, 82? Congratulations. 80 in February. God bless you. God bless you. By the way, a lot of these people here, what's your name? Huh? Brother Brown. Brother Brown. A lot of these people in here think 80 is old. Moses started his ministry at 80. 80. He was 80. Okay? Brother Brown, you don't walk like this, do you? No, you walk like this, right? Say it again. He took you out of a wheelchair in 1974. You weren't supposed to walk. He healed you. Very good. Amen. Amen. Moses was 80 years old when he started his ministry. He started. I don't know why I brought up the 80 thing, the age thing. Oh, here we go. So all y'all, this is what? All of y'all so young, you already think you already had a chance to die. God has sustained you all these years because some of y'all women, God has saved you from terrible situations. And by the way, you may have had a terrible one. It could have been worse. A lot of y'all been drunk driving home. You could have died. A lot of y'all been in dangerous places. A lot of y'all should be in prison or could be in prison. Can I get amen? When I was 19 years old, I was an engineering student, and in the summers I worked at an engineering firm. And this one particular firm I worked at age 19, I spent 3 weeks in the mountains of Maine by the Canadian border surveying the Appalachian Trail with two other men. At the end of the 3 weeks, we finished the job right at sundown, packed the car up, and drove all the way home like 11, 12 hours to New York. And I drove the whole way. They slept the whole time. Because we left right at sundown, drove all night, got to the Queens, New York at like 8 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And I'm driving, I was young, I was like, yeah, I could do it. I like to drive, yeah. And I was like a challenge, so my goal is to get us home. We're only going to stop for gas, no bathroom, take a jar, just take it and go all the way, okay? I was driving through Connecticut, and it was light out, and I fell fast asleep. Out. How do I know I fell asleep? Because I woke up refreshed. it wasn't like that. I don't know how long I was asleep. I just know that I woke up and I felt good. You know what I'm saying? That's scary. And I was still going straight. And I went, whoa. Here's the freaky thing about that. The exit, because I remember where I was because it was such an emotional, traumatic moment, that the exit I was by was the exit where my wife lived, but I had not met her yet. That's deep. When I found out she lived there, which was the next school year, because this was the summer, so that September, like a month later, I met her. I was like, I fell asleep right by your house. Well, it wasn't really a house. She lived in the ghetto, but that was another story. But anyway. But my point is this. I could have died then. So it's not that God is your terminating cause, that God is the one that's going to kill you necessarily. He knows when you are going to die. He may take you out. I don't know. But the point is that you could already be dead. And the only reason you're not dead is because of his grace. And where you go after you die, he will determine based on your decision to reject or accept him. Because remember the basketball? Jesus Christ came into basketball. After we sinned and ruined God's perfect creation, which was us, by sinning, Jesus Christ came, submitted himself to the laws of the basketball, the universe, and said, I'm going to die on the cross and pay the penalty for your sin and give you an opportunity to have a relationship with God outside the basketball. Look at 1 John, all the way in the back of the Bible, the fifth book from the end. 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. Fifth book from the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 5. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Whether you believe there's a God or not, there is a universe of limited objects that had to be started by somebody, something. It is big, it is complex, it is beautiful, it is organized. It is a scientific fact that nothing could not have done it. So the no God scenario is not an option. It's not physically, scientifically possible. It is also a fact that it's big, large, and coordinated. So whatever it was that created is unbelievably powerful. We saw last week, God is all powerful, the Bible says. It is coordinated. It is being sustained all at the same time. So whatever did it is coordinated now, and he must be really big because it's all being taken care of at the same time. It has to be the God of the Bible, because that's God said. Now, if you have another option, we would like to know. There is no other option like this God right here. And he's also saying that when you die, what determines whether you have a relationship with me and live an eternal life is going to be whether you accepted my son Jesus as your savior. Because my son Jesus is the one who's going to execute judgment. And it's going to be based on whether you accepted him and gave your life to him or not. So we all know that we've all sinned. We all know that because of our sin, we made God our enemy. Jesus Christ died to pay the price for our sin that we can be God's friend by being forgiven. You have to decide, God, I want to be forgiven. I want to surrender my life to you. I want to repent. And I want you to forgive me and cleanse me. And the Spirit of God, I want to live inside of me. Because the Spirit of God, God promises to give you. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. I want to not only acknowledge that you exist, I want to have a relationship with you. Why? Because God didn't cause all this stuff to be here for no reason. He put us together to have a relationship. He created us to have a relationship. So I'm going to ask all of you right now to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, we thank you that you are really good to us and that you love us. And we thank you that as big and as powerful as you are, you reveal yourself to us. And you've given us so much evidence that you exist. And we thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. If today you realize and believe you are a sinner, realize that God is real and that he loves you and wants to have a relationship with you, and you want to surrender your life to him, maybe you need to be forgiven for the first time. Maybe you just have drifted away from him. You've forgotten how big he is, how awesome he is, and you put him in a little box and you started trusting in other things, and you want to recommit your life to him. For whatever reason, pray this prayer with me to establish or reestablish a relationship with him. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe you exist. I believe you're all powerful. You're eternal. I believe you sent your son to die for me. I believe he rose from the dead. Please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Take my burden. remove my burden. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up if you prayed that prayer. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So I want to ask you to stand. You shouldn't have to worry about what people think. It's between you and God. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Acknowledge your faith in him. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. If you're watching online, there's a box you can check to say that you need prayer or that you gave your life to Christ, and we want to pray with you. So stand to your feet. You can check that box. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you.